This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
So we're holding over here in page 197, Kuf Tzedek Zayin on the bottom. And this is a Rabbeinu Bechaya. He discusses the Pasuk. It says, V'yira Yaakov neder lemor, so it sounds like it's just a request, a shopping list from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give me beged lilbosh, lechem lechol. Seems to be not in good form that a person should be asking that. Also, I mean, what does it mean, asan lechem lechol u beged lilbosh? Yeah, lechem is lechol and beged is lilbosh. Why? And I mean, it's redundant, really, and not adding anything. So Rechayah speaks about, and he reframes what exactly his request was. V'nasin lechem lechol beged lilbosh. Zoy shaylas tzadikim es Hashem. Tzadikim asks specifically this Hashem. Lo yishalu hamoisreis rakdav erchech levad. The request is not luxuries, not extras, but needs. So the appropriate format of a request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not make me a wealthy man, not make me a brilliant man, it's make me what I need. Ubi Yadua, he says, and he explains the downside, kinitias odom achabakoshas amoistris, ugom lom humus rabbis. When a person seeks out things that are extra, it creates a lot of problems. People should be he shouldn't crave things that are moisturous. So he says over here, A, and this is something which I guess is helpful in phrasing what tefillah is. We tend to think, you know, when we want to teach kids what tefillah is, we say, ask from Hashem whatever you want. Is that appropriate? What does it mean I'm asking Hashem because I want something? He's not my uncle and he's not, you know, there to spoil me. What does it mean? The answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to fulfill our needs. We're here to function. In order to function, we need to be able to supply our needs. So it is appropriate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, gave us a job to do. We're telling him what we need to fulfill the job. Any other private wishes, where does that come in? On what basis are we asking? So the Yaakov Avinu framed the request specifically as lechem lechol and beged lilbosh. He said, because these are two items, I need my needs to be taken care of. And then next paragraph, the inyan ze hevi lemoshem is istakus. Umenu yesh lilmoy kal b'choyim shesh odom l'spayas u'stapik me'at v'asir esparuch, yoyisim et tesef samom v'gazal chamas. A person should be content with having his needs, as opposed to having things that shouldn't be his. And he brings a pasuk from Mishlei that explains what exactly are the problems associated with it going for either one or two extremes. Shlomo Melech says, the pasuk says, "Reish ve'oshal titenli, do not give me either poverty or wealth. Hatrifeini lechem chukai, give me my needs, what I need." So he says, "Bia ki hareish ve'oishem midos migunos." Both poverty and excessive wealth are not good midos. Mevioso solav al mitzvos Torah. They force him. They bring him to be over on mitzvahs. Ki im hareish itzach adam lachem v'sabrius. Ki in shekosov tachnuin da bereish. So he says a very interesting reason, rationale behind the problem of poverty, so if we ask ourselves, the problem of poverty is very simple. You don't have what you need. A person's hungry, a person's naked, a person, you know, doesn't have the things he needs. But that's a technical problem. A person needs things. But he says in Shlomo HaMelech, when he said, Reish Vayish Al Titan Li, he says the problem with Reish, with being poor, is the person ends up dependent on Chanfanus. Let's talk about that a little bit. The word Chanfanus means flattery. Normally we would consider flattery to be in poor taste, unless for fundraising, in which case it's extremely important. And that's exactly what he's talking about, actually. But I want to talk a little bit more about the Mida, because the Maral speaks about it by Richus, and I think it's important to understand a little bit about it. There is an Isser. There is an Isser of Chanufa. The Isser applies as follows. Whenever we give right to things that are wrong, somebody's doing an Avera, and I sort of validate what he's doing with my words. That's the Issa Chanufa that the Gemara speaks about. It speaks about Agrippa HaMelech, that he was a nice Melech, and he also was the Roman Melech, so you want to be on the good side. He read the pasuk Mikev Achecha Tasi Melech, and he started crying because he realized he's not fit to be a king, and so on. And they said, no, Achinu Ata, and so on. And it says it was Chayev Kloya. In other words, the problem with flattery is our power of speech is what defines for us right and wrong. When we say something is good, that becomes the good we ascribe to. When something is bad, it's the other way around. When you need to distort the truth and say things that are wrong just because you need X, Y, or Z, the problem lies in the fact that you're distorting the world. You think that you're only fooling the other person. But the truth is, the power of speech is very, very powerful. So Shlomo HaMelech asked, he said, do not give me the nesoyin of poverty, because poverty will lead to, and this is the worst thing it leads to, it forces me to distort my sense of values so that I describe the bad as good or people that are bad as good. And that's why I should stay away from that. What about wealth? V'ma'oysha yav odam ala moysris, v'yikden latzmei gassus aruhag valev. So there's a certain haughtiness and arrogance that comes with wealth. I want to, again, be more specific in the way he says it. Moisros means, let's understand what it is about Moisros. You know, we call them luxuries today, or excess in materials. Why is that specifically leads to the gas ruach and so on? Imagine a person is on some sort of business trip, and he's working for somebody. So he charges them for gas. I need gas, of course. I need to stay over on the trip. It's a long trip. Fine. Let's say the person comes to his boss, and he says, "You know, I always wanted to have this and this tchotchke. You know, so I'd like to put it on the business an expense account." It's the reaction is not going to be very good. Most people put on the account and find some way of explaining it. But if it's, what does it mean that you're putting a tchotchke on it? I mean, tachlis, the business account is for business. So when you're doing, all needs are defined as business related. Anything else is more than that. If a person perceives himself in this world on business, so then a person takes what he needs. What for my most efficient performance, what do I need? And that determines how he sees his needs. When a person has more, So the more makes him feel that there's a self. It's a reflection, but I would like this also. I don't just want, I'm not on a business trip where I'm taking, you know, whatever I'm expanding business. I'm saying more than that. So in a very subconscious way, a person is fostering the idea that I am and I have desires and those desires need to be met. So maestros plug into that part of the person. Rabbi Chaim Shalevitz used to quote many times Rabbi Saul Salanta with the following expression. He would say, the world is a very expensive hotel. In a hotel, you pay for a glass of water through the nose. The only way you don't have to pay is if you're on a business trip and you can write it up on the business account. So he said, if we're here on a business trip, then whatever we get is on the business account. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon. If we take for ourselves, that's the way it was an expression of Rabbi Saul Salanta used. But his point over here, I think, is a finer point. When a person taps into, when I want things, it gives me a sense of self. I also deserve something. You know, when people are only getting things that they need, they get upset. And they said, but I'm a person. I want things. So obviously to be a madriga like this, like Yaakov Avinu is an extraordinary madriga. But lemaisa, it's something that it helps us define why this midah is so appropriate. The next paragraph, he says, vidak, says a very interesting observation. Kilule sheyetzel eva adam ramin urav, hoy machatayv zisa oisha v'akavayt, lo hoye roylo sheyidak b'mesh leikonim na moisris. So he ties the concept of bitachon specifically to the area of needs. What does it mean when a person says, I'm relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for my needs? That makes sense. The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created and gave me life. He wants me to exist. Obviously, he's going to give me the means to sustain that life. That argument is a cogent argument. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei HaOlam, he's the Mekayim HaOlam. So whatever is needed for Kiyum HaOlam, so the bitachon of a person is well-placed when it's on things that are needs. Masha'ein came, if a person asks for wants and desires, What's that bitachon about? Because I want something, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu should supply it. Where is it coming from? I once heard a very interesting hadracha. Bachanar Yeshiva once asked Rabbi Reuven Feinstein, Shlita, about davening for a shidduch. So Rabbi Reuven said, it certainly is appropriate to daven for a shidduch, but it's not appropriate to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu advice. In other words, that I find my appropriate basherta, that's a very, very important tefillah. I'm supposed to get married. It's a real need. And tefillah is part of fulfilling a bakasha. Telling a Kaddish Baruch Hu who I think it must be this person, Dafka, that's not asking for a Kaddish Baruch Hu, that's telling a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And that's what you described it to the person. Okay, next paragraph. So if you take a look around, you see something very interesting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives everybody the things we need. The more we need something, the more readily it's available. So air is an absolute necessity. Air is for free. At least, meanwhile, that's given. Water is in great supply. Food, basic foods, a little bit less. Very, very, fancy foods, much less. There's a certain proportion between needs and HaKadosh Baruch Hu supplying. So jewelry and gems and so on, they're not necessities, and that's why they're quite rare. One can also look at it the other way around. What makes diamonds and gems so valuable is because they're hard to get. It's hard to really to understand, you know, they could make artificial gems as we almost can't tell the difference, or possibly can't tell the difference, and yet they're worth much less because he's manufactured them, and you're cheating the person if it's not natural, because the natural ones are rare, and that actually creates the value. But he says, basically, Hashem, you know, anything that is necessity, Kadosh Baruch Hu makes it more readily available. It is our nature that we satisfy our sense of possession, the things that are not so readily available. You see, water is more, but like not some thirsty more. So water is still more here. Air is still more, and you get more than that. And therefore, he says, so you see, there's a certain hierarchy of necessity and availability. There's a correlation, and therefore, he finishes his last paragraph. He explains Pshat Nepasi. Valkain shol Yaakov atzadik lechem lechol beged lulbosh odeva mocha. He asked specifically need-based. Give me the bread I need to eat and the clothing I need to wear. That's why he expressed it that way. Vishol midas histapkus. He asked from a perspective of histapkus. She shelos atzadikim v'loshol amoisris. Katerim eses ben shlimas afilam melech. You see, the Torah even placed a restraint on a king from having too many possessions, even though a king theoretically is all powerful and he could take what he wants and so on. The Torah felt it's something which is not good for a person. So it's interesting. Our instincts are the more we have, the better off we are. There is a strong curve, a down curve, that's not true. When a person has more, that at some point it doesn't help a person. I have a friend of mine at Israel. Him and his wife are American. His kids grew up in Israel. They were born in Israel. They grew up there, and so they learned English from the parents, but not all the nuances of the language, are present. So they once had ice cream or something, and the kids were fighting. They want a lot of ice cream. So one kid said, "I want lots of ice cream." And the second one says, "I want lots and lots of ice cream." The third one said, "I want too much ice cream," because she was used to the idea that the word "too much" is always a lot. Like they sort of they're used to it. A person understanding that. A person needs to ask himself, how is what I have and don't have affect me? Eresh has its problems, and Aish has its problems. And a person, the bottom line is, if the person sees himself on a tafkid, on a tachlis, then he takes appropriately. If a person is not sensitive enough, a person that doesn't self-reflect enough, then it doesn't always fit into the best part of the person. The next one is very different.
This connects to the Pachim Ketanim of Yaakov.
Rav Kalinsky, you have a nice audience listening to you. This connects to what the Pachim Ketanim? Yes, let's segue to that. Actually, this is an important point. It's very interesting. You find a difference between Esav and Yaakov in a way that... it says, Esav says, Yeshli Rov, I have lots and lots. And Yaakov Avinu says, Yeshli Kol. By all reckonings, all is greater than part. I think that's axiomatic, that the no part can be as great or greater than the whole. Yet Rashi points out that Esav is very arrogant. He says, "I have lots," whereas Yaakov is very humble. Isn't all, if I say I have all the bitcoins in the world, a lot more than I say I have many of the bitcoins? I mean, so the answer is the other way around. when I say I have, what does it mean I have everything? Yeshikol means all the pieces that I need, I have. Whereas Esau sees it as possession. And I can, when I was young, a long, long time ago, they used to have these plastic models. I don't know if they still have it where you buy in the store like for $1, $1.25, like a model of a plane or a ship, and you paste, you cut off, you break off the pieces and you paste them together. I don't know if they still have it. They stopped making them when they realized that you could sniff the glue and get high in it. So see, that's when it went out of vogue. But as young, we used to put it in. And I'm not particularly adept at it. And sometimes I'd be missing a piece, and sometimes I had a piece too much. And I came to realize that they never make those sets with extras or missing pieces. If there's a problem there, I messed up somewhere. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us everything that we need to fulfill our tachlis. And therefore, if we have extra pieces, what does it mean you have extra pieces? And going back to what Rabbi Yosef mentioned, that was a Pacham Ketanim. It says Yaakov Avinu went back because he left over some small kelim. That's a mida. We wouldn't look as good mida. If I tell somebody, what are you doing in Harlem? Said, I dropped a dollar bill somewhere and I'm looking for it. We wouldn't see that as a mark of chashivas on a person. We would say he's crazy. I mean, but let's say I said somebody else's dollar. I was carrying some for somebody and I dropped it. We would say, well, that the person is a neman, he's faithful. He does his duty on the Mrs. Nefesh. If Pachim Ketanim, if Yaakov Avinu saw it as something that was extra possessions, to put himself in danger for Pachim Ketanim or to put his family in danger would be a bad midah. The answer was Yaakov lived with kol. The midah of Yaakov was koil, and that's a bakol mikol kol, and that means that there wasn't an iota of possession of his that wasn't put to use. And therefore, it's not his that he lost, it's Ribbono Shel'olam's. And he needs to take it and to put it. Let me maybe since we're in a more informal setting, you'll have to bear with me. I want to share a story about what a big person is in this midah specifically. It's I experienced it in Yeshiva. When I was a young bacha, I had a friend of mine who was a very big masmid, very, very big masmid, long, long hours. And he was pale and thin. He looked the part. His parents came for a visit in the summer, and there was a great chance, or at least people felt that if they see what he looks like, they'll take him back home. They weren't so thrilled that he was in Shiva in the first place. And looking and seeing him, they were scared he would take him back. So the chashivs, the younger man in the mirror, was somebody named Reb Chaim Kamil. He was a kulei Torah. He was in his 40s, early 40s, I remember him. He was a personal Rebbe of Sin Tzvi. He later was Rosh Yeshiva Ofakim. Very chashiv person. Everything about him was weighed and measured. When you spoke to him and learning, everything was thought out, weighed. That was his midah, was shikla das. The whole person was shikla das. He walks over to my chavrusa, and he calls over another very chashir young man. It was the 9 days. And he said, doesn't he look pale to you? He says, yeah, he looks kind of pale. So you would be mad to him to eat meat in the 9 days, wouldn't you? So he said, if you say, Reb Chaim, yeah. Good, come with me. Come with me. He had a long. So my chavrus started protesting. No, come. He comes. Washed. He pulled out of his packet a plastic bag full of chicken livers that he felt that would give him the iron, whatever it was, and he told him to eat. Now, chicken. It was quite expensive. He was Pankamil was a man who lived off, He finished, he took out another bag with two apples, a little plastic sakit. I don't know. The medical cheshbon is, I'm not sure, Dr. Levsky maybe would have some insight onto why but that was it. When he finished, he said, Zayka ze gut, he said, could I have the plastic bag back? So if we're in a giving mood, it's okay, give. Okay, I have to do. What do you mean? The chicken liver is for Achzakas Taira, so he spent whatever he spent on it. It wasn't cheap. That is it. The plastic bag, what do you mean I just throw out the plastic bag? Can reuse it. So I need to reuse it, and that's that. To combine the two, the Nadiva slave of giving like that, and the frugality of on the possession, I need to be frugal about. That's a big person. In other words, it's not like a natural. Some people are naturally just kind of blow it, and some people are very frugal and so on. But this mida of being able to weigh and say everything has a tachlis. So the tachlis of these dollars was to buy the what the bracha needed, and the tachlis of the plastic bag is to be used a second time. And that's that. Okay, let's see one more small piece. There's an Evan Ezra here. It says, "V'Evan Azois, Ashlan that Sevi Yabes Elakim." What does Beis Elakim mean? How does the Evan become a Beis Elakim? It's not a Beis Hamikdash. What does Beis Elakim mean? So the Evan Ezra usually speaks extremely, is very, very laconic. V'Tam Yabes Elakim. By the way, the word Tam does not mean reason. It means the understanding of. The word, the Rishonim used the word Tam. It's like Taima Amikra. It means the flow, the Makom kavua litfilasi. Because Beis Elokim does not mean, and this is true even when you use Beis Elokim in the sense of the Beis Hamikdash, it doesn't mean the house that God lives in. It's the house where I find that Kadosh Baruch Hu. Beis Elokim is my reflection on it. It's not that. So it means a makom kavua litfilasi. That's what it is. Then he adds something I'm not sure what he means. He says, So the finishing of the pasuk is, so the Ben Ezra says it means that he will give Meiser, which, yes, that's the meaning of pasuk. The Meiser will be given to those that are Kaddish Baruch Hu feels, to those that are Kaddish Baruch Hu would want it given to, whether it's Aniyim or Chacham, whatever it is. But then that it's tied in somehow to being that spot, I'm not sure exactly what he means. Ebenezer sounds as if that's the place where I'll give out the dollars. That's the place where I'll do it. Not sure. I'm not sure about this shot. It's very hard to be I mean exactly. But the first part, basically, keep meaning a place for tefillah. Velius Levi Asiri Deretrash. He brings this Chazal say that Asa Srenacha is going back on Levi. He's one out of 10 Shvatim goes to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Says it's a drash. Ebenezer many times prefers sticking to pshat, doesn't like drash, and he'll say he makes some comments. This is one of them where it's a very nice drash, but it has nothing to do with the pshat and the pasuk. Asherenoch means somehow it's a place I will give meiser. There were no levium, but there are people that are royal for it, and somehow it's tied to Beis Elokim. Okay, we'll hold it over here, and the proper. Yeah.